This morning, we will discuss the mysteries of Wi-Fi. Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, says there is new technology out there changing where and when we can get online. Jesse is a developer, consultant, and author specializing in iOS, FileMaker databases, and technologies for small businesses, nonprofits, and municipal governments. His most recent books are I Work for Dummies, Sam's Teach Yourself Core Data in 24 Hours, and its companion Objective-C in 24 Hours. Are there new books?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Every time I have to say,
I'll have to update this. I'll have to update that, yes.
You're very productive. Which is good. That's good.
Well, it's sort of a moving target.
Yep.
Things are happening all the time, and it's fascinating.
And don't forget Minutes Machine for iPad. It's available on the App Store. It's a great app. It helps nonprofits, homeowner associations, and small businesses manage meetings and generate minutes in real time. His website is northcountryconsulting.com, where all of the information that we talk about today, articles and associated materials, will be posted, and you can go and see and read more about what we've discussed this morning. Jesse, it's always great to have you here. Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Being with us. So, how much do we take Wi-Fi for granted? It seems that the more and more in life now, we just assume it's there.
Because it often is.
Yes.
I mean, it is. It's become, I mean, if you think back, it wasn't that many years ago. Do you remember connecting to the internet?
I do.
Do you remember modems that did beep, 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 beep,
that noise?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's gone.
Dial up. Right. That's gone.
Not everywhere, though. But Wi-Fi has become very, very important because it gives you mobility. You can wander around. It has launched or made possible all of the technologies that are based on location. That's with Wi-Fi and with the phone network. Because I think one of the trends that I see happening over the next few years, other people have remarked on this, is that we used to talk about how to enter data into our devices and how to run computers and the commands you are using, but we're gradually getting rid of the commands because with location-aware devices, they're doing things when they're in a certain place without you having to ask them to do something.
Yeah.
So serving up information. So Wi-Fi is a part of this big picture.
I think it's interesting because it's become such a cultural thing now. I'm just back from vacation when I was away. If we were at a theme park, you would see signs all over, we are online Wi-Fi available here. We were in an aquarium here. We have Wi-Fi here. If you're in a museum, Wi-Fi here. It seems that they just assume, rightly so, that if you were going to be there, you probably are going to be connected or want to be connected, or many people are going to want to be connected in one way, shape, or form.
And many businesses and other organizations have discovered that because people do want this connection, offering that is a way to get people in through the front door.
And on my airplane.
And on your airplane now.
Yes, I was happy about that. That was the first time it's been on the train for a while. I was happy to have it on the airplane.
Yes. So it is an amenity that people are gradually asking for. The more of it is available just as an amenity rather than a priced service in many places.
So what is new?
What is new is that there's a new standard. This is all built on the standard that goes back for years and years. It's called 802.11, and that's the basic standard for Wi-Fi.
802.11.
Followed by one or now two letters, as in A, B, C, so forth. And we're up to, in the basic standard, we're up to N, and now we have the new one, which breaks remarkable technological ground because the new one is AC. It has two letters.
Oh, it's not O.
No.
Okay.
It's very, very exciting.
Okay. And what necessitated that?
They want it faster. They want more power. They being the manufacturers and the consumers.
Right.
And
because we're really driving this, right? I mean, it's all about making the money, and what people want and what they ultimately want is when they have to wait 3 seconds for something to come up, they get itchy and they want it to come up in 1 second.
Yes, and there is also a desire, I think it's fairly rational, that a wireless doorbell not disconnect your computer from the internet.
That seems rational.
Yeah.
It seems fair enough.
And there are, so what they've done with AC, what they're doing is they're using two bands, two signal bands, so that minimizes the interference from other devices. They can run faster. They can shape the beam, which means they can sort of focus the device, can focus the beam on where you actually are in the Wi-Fi area. So it's the usual things. Faster, less interference, and more devices on the network.
So let's parse that out for a second. What does that mean for the average listener right now of the equipment that they have in their home? Most of us have a router, something that allows us to get the Wi-Fi. Will we need to alter that in any way to add those two extra letters at the end of number?
You would really not alter the router. You'd get a new one.
Okay.
That's the basic.
Okay.
But then comes the fun part, because you already have devices.
Right.
And now this has been true for some time, but it becomes a little more important now. With 802.11ac...
And I apologize, but let me just stop you right there. So for 802.11ac, I would need a new device to implement that.
You would need a new router.
A new router.
Because that's...
Not a computer or a phone. Mm-hmm. I would need a new router that would be able to pick up that signal.
That would pick up and generate that signal.
That, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the level of 802.11 is sort of tied to the router.
And also, to further interrupt you, but that would not change my internet provider. So, for example, if I was getting Roadrunner, or whatever, whoever you get it from, that going into my house, that does not change?
Doesn't have to.
Okay. All right. It's the router that then, generates that signal.
And it's getting the signal typically from an Ethernet connection that goes from your cable modem or whatever.
Okay.
Out of that into your current router. You unplug it there, plug it into the new one.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
No. So that's the basics. Now, you have, however, some devices that are connected wirelessly to your existing router.
Yes.
You may be wondering what you would do with them.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, there are a couple of things you can do with them. Choice one is to replace all of them with the newest technology all at once.
Which is my dream, but usually not applicable.
Now, on the 802.11ac, you can mix AC devices with the latest of the previous generation, which is N.
Right.
You can mix those, and things should work very nicely.
Just fine.
Now, the new technology is compatible with other devices. So if you have an old G device, you can throw it onto the network, and it'll work perfectly well.
All right.
It may, however, probably will degrade the network performance.
It'll bring it down.
Yes.
Okay.
So what...
Now, how do I know if I have a G device? Like, what would a G device be?
You would have to look on the specifications, and depends what the device is. It may be on the box. It may also, if you can go in through the serial number or the model number onto the website, it'll tell you what it's supporting.
Now, when we say device, we're talking about the actual...
We're talking about...
The computer, the phone, the...
A wireless
the pad,
printer.
The printer,
yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, any of those devices.
All right.
And you may be able to see it using info on the device. It depends on the device.
Okay.
So if there's a command, particularly on computers, that lets you see the hardware configuration, you can look on there and it'll show.
About this computer, and it'll tell you that.
That sort of thing.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing, and I think a lot of people are doing this, is given the fact that you may not want to replace all of your devices at the same time, this is a device that should be good for a number of years, And if you see, and you can gradually, over a year or so, upgrade your various devices so that at some point you will not degrade network performance. I think if the purpose of getting a new router is to improve network performance, if that is your main goal,
yes,
it seems to me that in that case you want to look at the devices you're connecting to it and make certain that you have the latest versions.
So let me give you a scenario,
yeah,
and then you tell me if I'm talking about what you're talking about. All right. So one of the things that has developed in my household, anyway, now my wife and I, we live alone, and through the grace of God, we have and whatever else, we have we have family and friends and people that come over. Well, there can be times when you have a family gathering with, especially with children, that suddenly your quote unquote network within your house that is used to dealing with, you know, your phone, your iPad, and your computer is now dealing with, you go from 3 devices to 15 devices in the house because everybody's got something there. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with that network. So does this improve that?
Well, if one of those people comes in the door with an older device,
they can screw up everything.
I don't believe that's the technical term. I believe the technical term might be along the lines of degrade network performance.
Okay.
And
momentarily or for
until you throw them out.
Forever. Okay. So once they leave and they go home, then things will return back.
And
the balance will norm.
This is actually a familiar scenario in what you're describing. A whole bunch of friends and relatives come into your house and tell wonderful jokes, sing great songs, and generally disrupt family life. When they leave, things go back to normal.
Yeah.
This is not a technical issue.
Okay. All right. Now, let me go to another scenario, which is what you were talking about, the doorbell. One of the marital hiccups that my wife and I have occasionally is sleep time and TV time, where one of us will want to stay up and watch something while the other is asleep and vice versa. And so Smart Joe thought, well, the perfect thing, since my wife seems to complain about this more than I do, that one of the things would be to get wireless headphones that she could then we'd set up on the TV, and then she would then be able to, turn the TV off and listen to the TV in bed. I'd be able to sleep, and it wouldn't harm anybody. And then the times that I would want, I'd be able to use them, and it would solve all kinds of problems. Well, we put the thing online, and bam, everything in the house shut down. And we had to, rehook everything up, and that got to be a real pain. So that goes back to your doorbell issue, right?
Because this is now using 2 separate bands for communications.
Okay.
That it should, it is designed, I don't know how they phrase it exactly, it is designed to be able to address those issues. It's no guarantee it's going to solve them.
So with the 2 letters now in this new system, it is designed to address that issue.
Because
so
you've got
that,
2 bands.
Okay.
Now, so everyone is not crowding into the 2.4 gigawatt.
Okay. Gotcha. So this is all good news?
Yeah, I think this is good news. And what I think is good about it particularly is because it's just coming in now, and we should have several years of this. So it gives you an opportunity. What I did do is I upgraded the router with the assumption that over, not to get speed necessarily, but with the assumption that over the next few years, I know I'm replacing actually 2 laptops, the old wireless printer. I'm probably not going to replace it because it is terribly old and it refuses to die. But at some point, I will give it away.
Yeah.
So gradually that will help improve network performance.
And and overall with this, it's about speed, it's about connectivity, and what I think of when we discuss this is that it's impossible to talk about, and you touched on it a moment ago when you said, some people still use dial-up. We still have large swaths of this region and in this country who don't even have access to the internet, which seems to me, and I know there are great you know, there are great strides being made, and there also is legislation that is trying to improve this. But we're getting to a point where those people in those communities are at quite a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah. And the strides are being made rapidly, not rapidly enough, obviously, because if you're in, particularly if you're in one of those areas. But people are addressing it, and I can see, because I'm near an area that has had very, very poor internet broadband service. It is getting better. And there's an article, I believe, in today's Times about Mark Zuckerberg and his initiative to, he's trying to lead the industry in improving internet connectivity in the developing world.
I read that article, yes.
So, yeah, we certainly are at, if we don't have broadband, we're at a major disadvantage, any communities. It's rolling out. It's not rolling out fast enough. And I don't know what more to say. I know the state is putting a lot of money into it. The feds have put money into it. And at a certain point, almost everyone will be wired. But it's wired or connected with broadband. But it's not, you're right, it's not there yet, and it really poses some problems.
As much fun as it is to talk about 802.11ac, let us ask, I want to ask you about something that has a far catchier name, which is Quip.
Ah!
Quip! Which is not only little one-liners that you, little jokes. There's more to Quip.
It's something very interesting, and I can give you two descriptions of it. One is a description from their publicity. It's a collaborative word processor and messaging system. That's what they call it.
All right. I don't know what that means.
Well, I'll tell you what it
means.
But I will also tell you that in today's world of software, they have a very interesting number that they have not hidden. They have $15 million of venture capital behind them.
Wow.
That sounds like a lot of money. It's probably not, but in the venture capital world. But
yeah.
It's a hefty bit. This idea of a collaborative word processor, a couple of people have mentioned this. We all know what a word processor is, right?
Yes.
And the basis
I think so. Yeah.
Of the word processor goes back to that great technologist Flip Wilson.
Yes.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And they're actually, although they don't make a fuss about this, they are attacking what you see is what you get. Because what you see is what you get says, okay, what you get is going to be an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
Yeah.
And we're not working for 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper anymore. We're working for web pages, we're working for other shapes, other sizes, other media. And what Quip does is to bring word processing tools to an environment where it's not limited by 8.5 by 11. They're online at quip.com. You can play with it and go through the examples. Everyone, including me, I know who's looked at it, has not understood it until you go through and play with the examples, and then it sort of clicks.
Because you make a great point, because we think of everything that we do, pretty much, we think of absolutely in an 8.5 by 11 mindset when we talk about fonts, when we talk about size, when we talk about layout, when we talk about margins and paragraphs and so forth. So this is telling us that when we look at our iPads, when we look at our phones, when we look at anything that we are trying to do for, I would assume even a Facebook posting,
mm-hmm.
right? That we would be able to do it in a new and different way that is more applicable to this new technology.
Well, see, the web dealt with this years and years ago with something called style sheets. Because although you can specify fonts on a web page, the preferred way of doing that is instead of saying something like bold, centered, you can say with a style sheet that this is going to be a headline. And then how the headline style is interpreted depends on the device that you're on. And that's what we're getting to, really, with something like Quip. getting out of the specific formatting to the logical formatting.
Will this become something that you think that will be adopted by the major computer manufacturers that will be part of?
This is an end-user technology.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it will be. It's terrific for collaborative documents because the document and the messages, the comments about it, all are together and can be shared among people. It's just terrific. That's fantastic.
But it comes later in the process. It doesn't necessarily need to be done, you know, as ingrained into a system that we purchase in the future.
I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's always going to be an end user tool.
It's all fascinating stuff. You know, I'm curious as to when you have something like this. So, as you said, you can go on, you can play with it. So when do they hit you up for buying it?
I'm not certain. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, okay.
With a number of these things, like Facebook is the greatest example, the software turns out to be free.
Yeah.
And the big question is, how do you monetize some of these things? And one of the answers is advertising and, you know, add-ons. The basic version is free. And this is true of Google Docs. The basic version is free for an enterprise-wide installation. It pays. So we have different ways. All of this is changing with apps. But it's a good time to experiment with new things because in many cases, you can experiment for free.
Right. And then figure out whether it works for you.
And then become an expert in the field.
In no time at all. If you want to find out more information about 802.11 AC or QIP or any of the topics that we discussed this morning, you can go to Jesse's website, which is northcountryconsulting.com, and you have links up there and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Always very helpful information that is up there. Once again, Jesse provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it is always a pleasure to have you on this program, and I look forward to your visit next month.
Thank you
very much.